So I've been listening in the past few weeks as you're going through your sermon series on following Jesus, getting to know Jesus, right? What were the four, attributes each week? What were the four things we're all pressing into?
Jesus as teacher,
friend, Lord, Savior. And then Dave's like, all right, you're going after that. And I'm like, wow, and you can do anything you want. And I was like, what would we do? Then it hit me. I said, all right, I'll do kind of like a prequel. Like, you've done episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'll do episode 1. Today we're going to look at, briefly, we're going to look at who Jesus followed. Because, right, we all want to follow Jesus, and we're looking at the different attributes as friend and teacher, and Jesus taught so we can go out and do the same. And how hard is it to follow Jesus, right? Let's be honest, it's hard. I would say on our own, it's actually impossible to follow Jesus. So we're not on our own. Like, if we look at who Jesus followed, there's a lot of following in the Bible. The Israelites, right? When they left Egypt and they were being led by God, they were led by, in the daytime, a pillar of cloud, and at night they were led by the Holy Spirit of God by a pillar of fire. So they were leading. Jesus was led right before he started his ministry. He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he fasted for 40 days and, of course, was tempted by the enemy. So there's a lot, and of course Jesus calls us to follow. So looking at who Jesus followed is kind of like a life hack. It's a spiritual life hack. And life hacks are really cool because it's something that's maybe been around forever, and there's a better way of doing something, and it's been right in front of us all this time. And on YouTube there's all sorts of bloggers or whatever who do life hacks. And I, one time I stumbled upon a life hack with like saran wrap. You see the box and all that, and you pull this out, and if you can grab it, and sometimes this bounces around like and falls out. But then I came across a life hack. There's actually a tab on each side, and you can push the tab in, and the tab on each side, and this has been there for decades, and I never knew. And it holds your thing in place, so you can just more effortlessly. So there's a, look, check your things. So it's been there forever. Since the beginning of time, it's been there forever. And that's a life hack. So when we're called, we can go to the next slide. When we're called, like, to follow, Jesus goes, follow. It's an invitation. Is it an invitation? Is it a command? Is it something in between? It's something for all of us to really wrestle with seriously. Like when Jesus says, follow me. But to follow Jesus, right? It's, like when you saw everything, all his attributes, like, for teaching or for, a heart of empathy for the broken, the disenfranchised, for healing. There's a lot, like, to do that on our own, I would say it's impossible. But who did Jesus follow? Jesus says, he says, like, I do nothing except what I see the Father see. What I see the Father doing, I do. Jesus says, like, I do nothing without the leading of the Spirit. And that's how, because Jesus, remember, when he came to earth, he relinquished, like, all the heavenly privileges. He came to earth as fully man. Of course, Jesus is God in the flesh. We know that. But the things we kind of forget is, like, Jesus was completely man. And the cool thing is, everything Jesus did, he did it just like as we would do it as people. But how did he do all these amazing things? It was through the Holy Spirit. So if we really want to follow Jesus, the life hack, the spiritual hack, is to press in. We press some tabs. Press in to the Holy Spirit. And let's see. There's a lot of talking about fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to look at, let's look at our verse here. It's from Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. And it's really interesting how they, it's a kind of a, several verses here, but they summed it up at the beginning with, keep in step with the Spirit. And I keep, I think every time you hear, I reference Pastor Dave's sermon from like over 2 or 3 years ago when he did it on NSYNC and he made all these cheesy references to the band NSYNC, be aligned with God, be in sync, because that's what it's all about. Like, I would argue that every parable, every story, every narrative in the Bible is to bring us in alignment with God, is to allow us to conform to Christ, to imitate Christ, to be followers of Christ. Every story is to bring us in step with God. And here we are in step with the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Like, there's more, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against all things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So, to clarify, when we live by the Spirit, we're not living by the law. It's not to say the two things are separate. They both bring you to the same place. Like, if you're building a cabinet, you can either follow the instructions and live by the law of the instructions, or baking a cake, look at the recipe and go by the instructions. Or if you have an expert right nearby, say, no, we don't need the cookbook, we don't need the manual, I know how to do this, follow me. It's getting you to the same goal. Because when you're living by the Spirit, I guarantee you're not going to be murdering, you're not going to be stealing, you're not going to be lying, and you're going to be worshiping. You know, you're going to be following, like, you know, if we're looking at the law of the Ten Commandments, if you're living by the Spirit, you're going to be following the law. And the thing is, the things that are harmful to us, there's regulations and restrictions, like, even with simple things, but they're still harmful, like sugar. There's, you know, your doctor may have restrictions on your sugar intake, or there's restrictions on alcohol intake, there's restrictions on all sorts of things. There's not restrictions on good things. Like, there's no restrictions on broccoli. Like, you can have all the broccoli you want. And as Paul is saying in Galatians, there's no restrictions on patience, on goodness, on kindness, on self-control. So if, I don't think this has ever happened, but if you have kids or grandkids and they ever said, can I have more broccoli? You'd be like, sure, have all you want. It's good for you. But if they were like, maybe it's Halloween night or the night after Halloween, it's like, can I finish this bag of candy? And you're like, no, just a little. We have to put restrictions on there. Not at all. It's too late. It's going to rot your teeth. So the things that are not good for us get restrictions. But on other things, all these, the fruits of the Spirit, unrestricted. You could have all you want. And let's look at the fruit. Let's look at, if we go like some, look at some fruit trees. There's a lot of talk about fruit in the Bible. So to identify like a tree, This is a fruit tree. I actually left the title up there because I don't know how you'd know that's a pear tree. But from that bark, I guess experts could tell. Like, for me to tell a fruit tree, I need more than that. I need more than that. Let's see another bark. That's a peach bark. Still not very helpful. And then there's like one more, I think. Apple bark. That's still, right? Not helpful. All right, we're going to take away the titles. So you had a little time to review these, see them? We're going to take away the titles, and now we're going to test you, right? Let's bring up the next one. With that, no titles. I'm just giving you some branches and leaves. What type of fruit is it? That's a peach. Good, you got it. That's a peach. All right, next one. No titles. There's not much branch to look at. There is a good shot of the leaf. What fruit is this? Well, that's a pear. It's a pear. And have the last one. Now we're getting a good shot of the branch. The leaves are fuzzy. I apologize. What fruit is this? Apple. So it's, right? I'm not an expert on the tree, but if we could see the fruit that it's putting out, like 100 yards away, I could say that's an apple tree, that's an orange tree. Let's look at the next slide of a crowded square. Okay, here, where are the followers of Jesus? Can you tell? Where are they? There's got to be some, right? Oh, is he? Maybe he's right. He could be. He's singing praise songs, right? So let's see. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see where the followers are. Here they are. They're reaching out to people without shelter, the disenfranchised. Like, that's their best option, you know, is to be doing that and living like that. And they're being loved on. They're being noticed, right? They're being loved. And that's the essence of it. Like, as followers of Christ, so there's followers, and then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Not to mention other fruits of the Spirit. There is different gifts. There's like gifts of hospitality. That's a fruit of the Spirit. There's wisdom, discernment. There's healing, you know, prayers, healing. There's the gift of prophecy, words of knowledge. There's speaking in tongues. There's all these gifts. So on our own, we're like kind of like bark. And we all have our own unique personality and giftings. And it's a matter of what fruit grows on our trees. Like, what do we put out? What do we put out to the world? I guess I have a thing for fruit trees. That's why I picked them. When I was younger, I was in charge of my parents' lawn, and I got to do whatever I want with it. And I decided I'm going to put a fruit tree in it. Like, I believe it was an apple tree. And I gave it a nice sunny spot. So it was right in the middle of the lawn. And I would water it and keep the weeds away from it. And like year after year, it wasn't producing. And like, it was like getting in the way. And I was kind of getting I was just very disappointed. Like, I went through all that effort digging the hole and watering it, and now I'm going around it. It's in the way. And like 4 years later, it just never produced fruit. So I just cut it down. It was scraggly, and it wasn't produced. It was just bark. Like, you know, those ugly bark pictures. It was without fruit. It was just, to me, ugly bark. I cut it down. To tap into the Holy Spirit, it's a new concept. It's not something that I've done. I haven't really done it. Like, Jesus did nothing without the leading of the Holy Spirit. So that's something new to me, and I'm pressing into. So this morning, yesterday, I was in my prayer time, and it just came to me. It was like, Holy Spirit, what would you have me pray today? Holy Spirit, in my prayer time, what would you have me pray in the next minute? That type of leading, this is all new. It's new to me. The church doesn't teach following who Jesus follows. At least I haven't paid attention or noticed. But that's the key to success. Like to be Jesus, to do Jesus, it takes supernatural, divine help. It takes God to be God. It takes the Holy Spirit to move through us. And it's not something I've taught our children to go by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but I guarantee, with grandchildren or anyone, even myself, even my adult kids, I'm going to be coaching and let's press into drawing on the Holy Spirit, doing nothing without the Holy Spirit. And like Jesus always said, it's good that I go, because if I don't go, then my Spirit won't come to lead you. And we'll look at some aspects of how the Holy Spirit, how I first got introduced to the Holy Spirit. It was at a Christian and Missionary Alliance launch weekend. I don't know, has anyone been to the launch seminars that in our district, we do launch, and you go away for a weekend or a whole long day and a half, and you're just pressing into that weekend. It was living on mission. And I used to, a long time ago, have two lives. I had my church life and I had my real life, my church friends, my real friends, and the two never mixed, and it's a complicated way to live. On this one, it was living on mission, one life. And it just hit me, it convicted me. And at the end, they had prayer stations, and they said, if you want to go up for prayer, go. And it was a big step for me to go up. I went to this online first, I think I was one of the first online. It was a man I didn't know, and I was going to bare my soul to this person I didn't know. So it was a big step to put away the pride or all the reasons not to get up and not to bare your soul and not to surrender. And I did, and it was a room kind of just like this with everything exposed, the rafters and the venting and the electrical all exposed. And when I closed my eyes and just said, this is how I want to live. I want to live one life, and I want to surrender my life. And everything we learned this weekend, I want to incorporate. And as he was praying on me with hands laid on me, I felt this beautiful, cool breeze, a really strong breeze coming on me. I was just enjoying it. And I was wow, we must be under one of those big round air conditioned vents with, the big piping. And I was wow, this is good. And then he finished praying. And the breeze was so strong and so enjoyable and so cool that when he was done praying, I was immediately looking at all the rafters for the air conditioner vent, searching the whole room. And there was none. There was no pipes. There was no nothing, no vents, no nothing. It was the Holy Spirit. I was looking around for the next hour. There was nothing up there. And so that was an impartation, that where I was surrendering. It's I want to die to self. I want to die to my old ways, and I want to press into following Jesus for real. And how that kind of manifested is, it probably wasn't that long after, months after, not that long. Remember, Margie, in church, there was Kervin and Tyena. It was a congregation a little bit bigger than this, but there was a new family, and it's always, I remember when I church stopped years ago, it's a scary experience. You sit in the back row and try to be invisible, and you're listening to everything they say. You want to make sure everything's doctrinally correct and everything. And this was a new family, and they were African-American, and I think they were the only African-American family at the time. So I went to them, we welcomed them, and I guess we kind of befriended them, because just a week later or two, I was asked to help the husband move some furniture. So I went to their apartment, and I looked, and they were in a basement, and it was just covered with mold, like black mold, and you couldn't breathe. I even told them, I said, I can't help you move the furniture, I can't breathe. And they had a baby, they had an infant. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. I called my wife, and I go, you're not here, so you can't understand what I'm about to ask, but these two people from church can't live here. Can they come stay with us for 2 weeks? And Margie said yes immediately, and that was a Holy Spirit thing. She didn't question it. She just said yes. And they stayed not only for 2 weeks, but it turned into 2 months. But in that 2 months, they were able to save for rent. They lived, Tom, our youngest, gave up his bedroom. We asked, are you willing to give up your bedroom? And we didn't know them. They were strangers. And for the first few days, the wife stayed in the bedroom, like, kind of like, you can come out and all that. But not for the Holy Spirit, we would not have invited them into our home. Margie, just hearing a quote, just immediately over the phone, not knowing, just said yes. So that was something. And they were lost. They were lost. And they were able to regroup. There's been healing. Like, the easiest thing you can do is pray for someone. So I've prayed for people for prayer. There was one time I was at a sharing network walk for organ donation, and there was a big and the team we're with, there was a big burly man, and he had a bandage on his shin, and I noticed that. I just seemed to notice things that are out of place. And I said, "Oh, your shin must really be hurting." Yeah. And he goes, "No, my shin doesn't hurt at all." I go, "No, why do you have a bandage on it?" He goes, "It's my knee, and my knee hurts so much that the bandage belongs on my knee, but my knee hurts so much I have to take the bandage off." So I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he's like, "Yeah, all right. Can I pray that right now?" And I said, "Okay. Can I put my hand on your knee and pray?" He's like, "Okay." So I prayed, and it's like, "Tell me, do you feel anything different?" He's like, "No." I was like, "Okay, can I pray again?" "All right, if you want. Do you feel, how about now?" "Maybe." I was like, "Can I thank God that you maybe feel better? God, thank you that he maybe feels better. Can I pray again?" And it's like, then it goes, "It does feel a little better now." "And can I pray again?" "It does. It feels way better. Can I pray one more last time?" He goes, and then he goes, "It feels good." And then he took like 3 steps away, and then he turned around and says, "Can I give you a hug?" And this is a big, tough, rough man. So if he wasn't healed, he was not going to get teary and give me a hug. And we just had someone in church to reach out for prayer. And a group of us, not just me, a whole bunch of people prayed for her. She had a spot on her lung. She had previously, like 2 years ago, had a portion of one lobe of her lung removed. And now the spot was on the other side. And she sought out prayer. And she received prayer in church on a Sunday, and she went for her scan. The doctor says, "It's not there. We don't need to do surgery." And there was another spot. She had something else going on in her body, not there. So with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Like in Ephesians 3:16, it says, "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So what kind of power is this? Is this fruit? It's like a power fruit. Like, we're not talking about power if it's a faucet, like a drip. Like, we're talking about busting open a fire hydrant, that type of power of the Holy Spirit. But perhaps we have our spigots really turned tight, or maybe we have our spigots, like, they're not even dripping, they're turned off. Because when we're not tapping into the Holy Spirit, let's face it, life is so much easier. We don't have to change. We don't have to, like, break our routine. But when we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, turn on the spigot, turn on the floodgates. I invite you to invite the Holy Spirit into your daily routine. Like, to the point where maybe one day we're all of us, we do nothing without the Spirit's leading. Like, "All right, Lord, I'm planning to go grocery shopping today. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Is there anyone you want me to connect with? Or I'm going out to dinner tonight. Is there a server, a waitress, there anything that you want us to connect with, that you want us to just go deeper? Instead of being just part of the crowd on the street, do you want us to connect with anyone?" I'm sure when Jesus went to a town square, it's like, "Father, show me who's broken. And like, who do you want me to connect with? Who do you want me to represent you to, Father?" So that's what I'll leave you with. And it's all foreign. It's all alien. It's something that if we truly want to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and our teacher, as students, I invite you to surrender and invite the Holy Spirit to lead our every move.